Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is April 14th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotiVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotiVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. So first thing, before we start off, I want to say thank you very much to Stacy for hosting last week. If you missed the call, that will be online, and the topic is getting over a slump. Stacy laid out some really, really great ideas for, we were just talking about that this morning. You know, just we all run into that, right? We all have those months. I always tell people, I talk about sometimes when I was in sales, I mostly liked that the office left me alone. I mean, many of you that have been on this call for a while know that, you know, I often say that I went to the office once a month if I needed to replenish supplies and stuff when I was in sales. And I mostly liked it because they left me alone. I was consistent. I put my stuff in. I had to communicate with service I had to communicate with them, but they left me alone. It wasn't that big a deal. And they didn't really notice me that much. So if I was blowing a day off, nobody was calling me and saying, what are you doing? You know, because the numbers were coming in consistently. But every once in a while, when I would feel down or depressed or kind of go through a bad, sometimes there'd be one or two months in the year where it wouldn't be quite up. You know, I wouldn't have that long streak. And that's the point that I wish somebody had noticed me, that was the trade-off for the rest of the time, is that sometimes when you wanted somebody to recognize it and just to come up to you and say, hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I noticed you're down a little bit. Nice job. Sometimes it's not going to happen. It's in a real world, it's not going to happen, as I was told last week by somebody I respect in the industry, pull up your big boy pants. sometimes you gotta do what it takes to get out of the slump. And Stacy had some excellent ideas last week to kind of pull yourself out of that, you know. And so Stacy, thank you very much for running the call. We had an excellent week down at convention. So amazing to see everybody and to learn a bunch of stuff. And hopefully we will have a couple of those guest speakers on coming up soon. And so I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions we can help you with, anything we can help with?
Kelly, I do.
All right, Jim. No. I do too. I have one too. But you go first.
You have one too? Okay.
I do. Yeah.
So last week, one of the sessions that I was at the WQA, we were at the WQA convention, one of the sessions that we led, which happened to be at the same time that the MB Pro call was going on, was marketing your talent. And what that entailed is, and this is a little bit more for managers and owners, but also it kind of falls in with you, the sales professional, is marketing your talent was discussing how to, I guess, market when somebody's doing really good, when they are meeting goals, when they're doing something good in the community and things like that, when they get certification. And so we had a couple, two other people on the panel, and then I was moderating, and just listening to the different ideas that they had and the importance of marketing, not necessarily even marketing, just recognizing when somebody within your company does above and beyond. And so with that being said, I kind of call these proud mama moments, and I don't know if I should put it that way or not, if it's politically correct. But Kelly, you and I both, when we bring on MB professionals, we call them MotiVitality professionals or the sales professionals. These are people that we've hired and we've trained for other companies. And when we bring these people on, we are changing their lives. This goes back to the name that you came up with, Kelly, Motivitality, to be vitally motivated to make a life change. And we take it very serious because these are people's lives. This is their livelihood and the money that they're bringing in. And I want to recognize, there are four people that I want to really recognize for their accomplishments this past month. And one of them is Brian. Brian has consistently, each month he's been bringing on, and maybe that was him that just hung up because I embarrassed him. Brian consistently is, we have goals. We have bonus goals, and he's consistently making those goals. Well, this month he made over, he sold over 55,000, almost 60,000 in sales. And that was awesome. That was amazing. And then Maria, she hit 60,000 plus. So more than $60,000 in sales. And when I say sales, there were sales, there were installations and the customer paid. I'm sorry, let me rephrase.
That's important to understand because Maria has actually did more than that in months, but it's based on the bonus is based on the amount that was installed. Yeah.
So Brianne installs 55 plus, Maria 60 plus, Lily for the first time. And she hit it like, this was awesome. She hit the $35,000 bonus her first time. Now, Lily has been in the industry for how long now? I think only 6 months. Okay. I know she had a month where she had some health issues, so she was out for a little bit. But anyway, she hit bonus, and it was so funny because I called her up on Monday, and I'm like, you have to sell reverse osmosis by Thursday to hit bonus. And I'll be darned that afternoon she was able to close a deal and sell that last reverse osmosis. And Kelly went and installed it for her. So that was great. And I think the one that really warmed my heart the most was we had hired, and because this person is no longer under the Motivitality contract, I'm not going to use her name, but we hired her a few years ago. Mm-hmm. The owner of her company happened to come to the Water Quality Association conference and stop by and talk to us a couple of times, which always makes me happy to see our previous clients. And he told us that she is currently making over six figures. And this was somebody who was kind of shy and meek, but her the way that she went into a home, it was not, I want to make a sale. It was, I want to help these people out.
Yeah.
And she's been phenomenal. He said he couldn't be more happy with her. And so she's making over $100,000 a year. That makes me so happy that her and her family can benefit from us bringing her into the industry.
Yeah, that's a special needs son that has tremendously helped with. It's one of the things that appealed to her about this job when we brought her into the industry years ago was that the time flexibility and the ability to really, be involved with the family and everything. So yeah, Jen, I agree with everything that you just said. Maria and Lily, I would love for you guys to connect with the person Jen's talking about because they remind me so much of the two of you in so many ways. She does. So, it's always nice. Thank you, Jen, for that. Anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic here? Okay. So I actually just had one thing real quick, just a reminder and this just popped up this morning. I was like, I need to, this is one of those things that we need to be reminded on. Read your manuals, you guys. Read your owner's manuals. Be aware of what they say. We got an email this morning from a client that one of our MV pros has been working with. And this is a commercial location, but the application is more of the amount of use. It's a commercial location in the same way you would put, say, a reverse osmosis system in a break room. You know, maybe a little bit more than that because it's not using a ton of water. It's actually using less water than what you would use in a house. And so the quote that was given was for a residential system, albeit installed in parallel, two of these installed in parallel so that you can meet the water requirements, and the flow rate needs. But even so, it's a residential piece of equipment. And the manual says that it is for residential use only, not intended for commercial use. And that's there because you tend to have higher flow rates and different things. But you have to be aware of the context and know what that stuff, know what your service manuals are saying. I mean, how many of you have a reverse osmosis that says you have to change, most companies say you have to do an annual service on a reverse osmosis, right? Filters pre and post. There's an awful lot of manuals out there that say you have to change those pre and post filters every 6 months. And, so be aware, know what is in your manual, know what's being, what's said, because sometimes customers read them. And if you seem surprised about what's in your own service manual, that's not very professional, So sometimes you've got to read your own manual, know what's in there. So your customers will. Sometimes. Anybody want to add or comment on that? Okay. So let's talk about brochures. Okay. So, things have changed in the last 20 years. When I was in sales, initially, everybody had brochures. All the manufacturers supplied brochures. They were all out there. There were some leave behinds that you could, that you could use. And the brochures, they always kind of annoyed me a little bit, because when you go and if you know your competition or you look, and no matter who the company is, you look at every single brochure, every single one of them that's out there, no matter who the manufacturer is, no matter who the company is, no matter who the dealership is, they all say the exact same thing. Every manufacturer claims to have the best warranty. Every manufacturer claims to have the best product, the best, the most efficient product. And then they have bullet points with terms like countercurrent regeneration or proportional brining or 30-day service history or things that, to the average person, I mean, they look great on a bullet point and they are great features, but to the average person, they don't really mean anything. I mean, think back to before you came into the industry, what did a grain capacity mean to you? What did efficiency, what did a 4,200 per pound salt efficiency mean to you? What did that mean? Probably nothing. It looked great on a bullet point, but every brochure also has the picture of the woman drinking the water, looking happy, or maybe a kid drinking a glass of water. There's usually a dog that's getting bathed with suds, playing in the bathtub. There's usually a baby sitting in the bathtub. They all have the same stock images as well. So my question to you guys is, do we need these things anymore? How are we using them? What are we using them for? And what are some other uses for brochures if we are, if we still do need them? What do you guys think? Are you using brochures? Are you leaving them behind? What are you doing with them? How are you using them? Give me some thoughts. Do your customers care?
I use them all the time.
So why not? So Stacy, I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit. In full disclosure, I like having brochures as well. So I know I'm like setting the stage there. I know it sounds like I'm trying to be. Let me just tell you, Stacy, I'm going to come back to you because I want to explore that. But what I just said is what I hear a lot of owners and manufacturers and managers say now. People that aren't actually in the field, I hear this a lot, and so I'm saying it the way it's been said to me, even recently, and so I wanted to get you guys' take on it. Are you using them? And go, Stacy, tell me how you're using them and what your thoughts are on it.
I use them during my presentation when I'm going over the different models with the different features and the warranties and what the warranties cover. I go over this stuff in detail with them and explain it to them and how each of the different units work. And I use it as my display and circle things on the brochure. I go over the size of the unit that I'm recommending for them and why that size. And from there, because you'll get a lot of people that will ask, well, is this a 32K or a 45K? And they really have no idea what that means. They just see it on a box.
It's just a bigger is better, right? They think that bigger is better, right? Yep, I agree.
And
so you are leaving them behind. Yep.
Yes, I am.
Can I ask you, how many, when you're presenting to a customer, because this is something that I've seen a lot of people do. In fact, I've done it myself. Sometimes when you have way too many brochures, you start pulling those things out and setting them around, and then you spend way too much time trying to, no, that was this one over here, and you're pulling from that one, and you get this huge pile of brochures spread out in front of them. How many do you put in front of the customer at a time?
So typically not more than two or three, and as we're going over features and there's things they like and things they're looking for, I will pull out what they
want.
Thank
you. Excellent. That's what I was getting. That's kind of where I was going to go with that. That is exactly right. So I'm going to pause for a minute and talk about that for a second as a tip. Okay. If you can organize your presentation and keep it there, then yes, you do have the brochure. So I like to do everything in threes. Okay. And if you're asking questions, so first off, let's talk about the water conditioner first. Okay. Or the water that goes on you first. We've got three options, and maybe you have these brochures that spell this out. You've got three options. You've got a water softener, or maybe a whole house filter by itself. You've got a water softener by itself. You've got a combo unit where they're both together. You have the softener and the filter together. And then you maybe have where they're separate tanks, but media is in separate tanks. Or maybe you have one that's a stack unit that has, a mid plate in it that separates them, and it's one tank with both units. So Mr. and Mrs. Customer, which does it make sense to look at the water softener? Okay, yes. Would you rather have two separate tanks than just the individual tanks? Or would you have them combined? But then when you do that, you're pulling away the singles. Get rid of them. Don't even put them there. It's confusing them. Pull it away. And then when they say, well, I'd rather have the one tank with a mid plate in it, pull that combo, the one with the two tanks, out of there. Get rid of it. Pull it back. So you're narrowed down. So this is the one that you would most be interested in. So now they're picturing what they have. They're picturing that one. Same thing with the reverse osmosis system. If you have a couple different reverse osmosis systems, get rid of it. And pull it out of there, exactly what you're saying. Don't leave it in front of them, because, it can get way overwhelming when they have all that information. It can be overload for them. It's great that you have it, but you've got to control what they're remembering and what they're seeing by not spreading it all out in front of them. Excellent. Okay. What other uses for, the one thing, Stacy, the one thing I also heard you saying there is that you are going through that and you're circling things and you're pointing out specific things on the brochure, right?
Yes. So I end up with a lot written on brochures in my binder when I pull back the ones that they're not discussing. So.
Yeah. So do you believe that brochure by itself will sell that equipment? Do you think that it's going to do a nice job selling the equipment?
Not by itself.
No. And that's key, you guys. This brochure is not going to sell this stuff. The customers don't know what this stuff means. It looks pretty. It's got the nice pictures. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, you kind of have to have it, because people still expect the brochure. It's if you say, I don't have a brochure on that, I don't know. It does feel like you lose a little, like, what company doesn't have brochures? Now you can say, We have been trying to go paperless. I have the brochure in digital form, but you need to be able to email it, and you need to be able to email it fast to them, efficiently, and to get it to them. I still like to have something that you can leave behind. But I think that it, you know, it, there is, people are okay with going paperless. They understand that, you know, they, and so you got to be able to email that to them and get it to them. And so, the problem with that though, is you're not able to really write on it like you are doing at the home, you know, to really specify and clarify things, to draw pictures on it. Anybody that's ever seen my presentation or even my training knows that I like to draw pictures. You know, I like to, that helps highlight it. A couple other ideas. What are some other ways you guys are using brochures? What are, other than in the home, what are some other ways that you would use them or that you would need them?
Kelly, can I pipe in just a quick second?
Please, of course.
So, I think, you know, my thought on it is I think it is very important to have brochures in the home. If you don't have a paper copy of the brochures, at least have it on a Chromebook or something that you can pull up in the home. And the reason why is because so many times I've rode with existing sales professionals and they don't carry brochures for whatever reason, whether it's the company doesn't provide them or they just don't feel like carrying them around. And a lot of times, this is the first time somebody's is getting water treatment. And you may be the first person that's gone in and you're explaining to them, oh, well, we're going to put a water softener and then we need a reverse osmosis. And they can't envision what a water softener is or a reverse osmosis. I mean, I just recently I was with somebody and they were talking about RO for one. And then, you know, once we got the reverse osmosis, and it wasn't even an explanation as to what a reverse osmosis was. It was just, oh, it's just a drinking water system. Well, there's a lot of drinking water systems out there. And you need to explain the difference between a reverse osmosis and just a filter that you're going to throw underneath the sink, which is much smaller and compact. And so I think it's really, really important to have a visual for them. It also keeps you on task as to remembering to talk about all the features and benefits because they are, and don't list it as bullet points, but, you know, just kind of work it into your presentation of this is why, this is the difference between this one and this one, and this is what this means. I think it's just really important. People are going to remember that visual.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. I want another shout out to Maria, who, Maria, I don't know if you're still on the call or not, but that's something that you do exceptionally well. And is Maria has pictures of installations of lots of different types of installs, and they're laminated and organized and nice and neat so she can show people what it actually looks like installed in a basement, installs of people that she's sold stuff to. So because of that, it makes a huge difference. I actually like doing it that way better than the brochure because it's real. You know, these are actual real installations. So before we run out of time, there's a couple other ideas I want to talk about. If you are canvassing, okay, and you're out there, I was out with one of our new MV pros this last week, and we were canvassing, and there are opportunities when we're trying to build relationships. We stop by a kitchen design store, and they ask, you know, do you have any brochures that you can leave? You know, we can hand a couple people. You know, it's important to have that kind of thing to give to them, you know, something that's there. Something that they can hand out with your number on it and to make sure that they are. Now, it's important when you are giving them brochures to realize that out of sight, out of mind, their job is not to sell for you. So you've got to make that, you've got to be back out there and check and, you know, give them just a few at a time, but then go back and check with them, be seen, make sure that the, if they agreed to put brochures out on the counter that they're not shoved back in the back behind the desk somewhere. You know, if they see you all the time, those brochures are more likely to be up front. Even business cards, little business card holder, you know, they're more likely to be up front there. Okay, so So make sure that you're not just dropping off brochures and then not going back to the place again. You've got to be back there, stopping in, saying hi to them, being known. Because, again, the brochure isn't going to sell. Marco and I, one of the sales guys, we stopped by a hardware store this week just to kind of meet the owner and build the relationship. And there was a business card. There was a handyman's business card up at the counter, which we grabbed. We grabbed the cashier. And we said, "Do you know this guy?" And both cashiers were like, "Oh, he's amazing. He built that cabinet back there. If you need anything done," I mean, they were endorsing this guy so strong. And he didn't work there. He wasn't part of it. He was just somebody that they knew that had a relationship with him. And they were really just like major endorsement for any work that we needed done to call this guy. That's what we want, right? I mean, his cards were there. Yay. But what was the difference between, you know, us grabbing a card and having that sort of endorsement? I mean, that went it was really impressive. Marco, are you on the call? You want to add to that? I don't know. You may be muted, but anyway, that's what you want is, you know, to have that sort of endorsement along with the brochure if you're leaving those behind. The other thing is you can use it as a detective as well. I used to use this when I was canvassing new construction to leave a brochure, you know, an inexpensive something, a brochure in the door, you know, if there's a lockbox or, you know, in a door, and you can kind of get an idea of when people are going to that house, right? So you leave a brochure there and you drive by and the next day and the brochure is still there. That tells you nobody's been there. On the other hand, you leave a brochure and then you go run an evening appointment. You drive back by after the evening appointment, the brochure is gone. That gives you an idea of what time, you know, somebody came to visit that house. When were they there? So you can catch the potential homeowner or somebody at that house, because the house itself is never going to buy equipment from you. It's going to be the homeowner that's going to buy equipment. So you can use them as a detective. One of the things to keep in mind, if you are leaving brochures around, make sure that you're not just leaving them somewhere where they're going to become trash. Okay. You builders will end up yelling at you and being very unhappy with you if you are leaving them, you know, if they become litter around the job site, the work site. So, any other tips or ideas or thoughts when it comes to brochures? Anybody else have anything? Are you still there? I heard a couple people drop. So I heard a couple people drop there. So I think the biggest thing here is just to make sure that that you know what's on your brochure, and that you're using the brochure as a tool. It's not what's on the brochure. It's using that as a tool to highlight your sales and what you're doing. So, and that, my friends, is my take on brochures. Any final thoughts or comments? Okay, then with that, we will talk to you guys next week, if not before. Everybody be safe and have a great weekend. Okay, have a good Friday tomorrow. All right, see you guys. Bye.
Bye. Thanks.